The local number for Senator Ron Wyden is 503-326-7525. The number for Senator Jeff Merkley is 503-326-3386. Oregon Governor Kate Brown's number is 503-378-3111. Portland Mayor Charlie Hales can be reached at 503-823-4120. You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River 91.9 FM. I'm Rosalind Scott.
And I'm Ken Jones. Coming up on Tuesday morning on KBOO. At 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Abe Proctor and Joe Uris host the surprisingly named Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. At 9, on Alternative Radio, award-winning journalist and author Chris Hedges speaks on moral imperatives. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11, D. May Roberts hosts Stage and Studio, a weekly live show featuring the best of performing, literary, and media arts in Portland and beyond. At 11:30, Art Focus is off today. Instead, we'll hear an interview with T. Geronimo Johnson, author of the novel Welcome to Braggsville, about Berkeley students who try to disrupt a Civil War reenactment. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. You're not a current member? Well, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. Now stay tuned for an in-depth report on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I talk with Adam Weissman, an organizer with Global Justice for Animals and the Environment and Trade Justice New York Metro. Good night, Rosalind.
Good night, Ken. Good night, Danielle.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Adam, the TPP trade talks ended Friday in Maui without negotiators reaching a final agreement. First, which countries are involved in the negotiations?
TPP is a 12-nation agreement. It includes the United States, Canada, Mexico, Peru, Chile, Australia, New Zealand, Malaysia, Brunei Darussalam, Vietnam, and Japan. And there are other countries waiting in the wings that have not yet joined this negotiation, but that have expressed an interest in joining. But the position at this point of the negotiating countries is that they intend to seal the deal before adding some of those other countries. An important thing to understand about TPP is, unlike past trade deals, TPP has been described as a docking agreement. And what that means is that once this agreement is signed, once Congress passes legislation to implement it, new countries can actually be added to the agreement after the fact without any further act of Congress.
Oh, how would a country join the trade deal?
So it's pretty much built into the design of the agreement. The trade agreement would open the door for countries to, not through an act of Congress, but through entering essentially the bureaucracy of the trade agreement between the member nations, could apply for membership in this agreement. One of the real contradictions about these trade deals is people think of them as about liberalizing, about deregulating, and about reducing bureaucracy, yet in some ways they actually create new bureaucracies and new forms of governance that are basically global governance designed for to the advantage of corporations and not designed and really designed to take the power away from what little bit of accountable democracy we actually have left. For example, the trade agreements built into them have a system called, there's an investment chapter in the TPP negotiations that includes something called investor-state dispute settlement. And this is something that gives corporations the power to sue governments in international tribunals outside the jurisdiction of a nation's court system. A corporation can claim that a nation's public interest laws are a challenge to that corporation's expected future profits, that if a corporation wants to profit by exporting a cancer-causing chemical or does not want to clean up a mine site or wants to frack and is prevented by a fracking ban, that these are all regulatory takings against a corporation's expected future profits. And in one of these tribunals, a corporation can sue for unlimited sums in monetary damages against how a law, basically claiming that a law prevents them from making money that they haven't even made yet, and that a country is required to compensate them for this theoretical future money. So really, these trade agreements are not about, they in many ways do eliminate public interest regulation, but they do it by creating this new form of bureaucracy and really just take power away from nations and put them in the system of global corporate governance.
And it seems, Adam, from what you're saying, this bureaucracy, this TPP bureaucracy, in some respects supersedes the U.S. government in terms of Congress and even the U.S. court system?
Absolutely right. The tribunals can, these tribunals cannot be appealed. The tribunals are there are no conflict of interest clauses for the arbitrators in these tribunals, many of whom in another week might be litigating on behalf of some of the same corporations that are bringing these kinds of cases. This is really about creating a system of tribunals to the advantage of corporations that reduce the ability of governments to make their own laws and reduce the ability of countries to enforce and protect their laws through their own national court systems.
Now, of course, for any of this to happen, the 12 member countries, currently the 12 member countries, have to come to a final agreement. So that takes us back to Maui last week. They didn't reach a final agreement. Do you know what the sticking points were? Why weren't they able to do this?
The issues that have come to the fore as being some of the real points of conflict include automobiles. Mexico did not want to cave on opening market access regarding automobiles. Canada is very concerned about protecting its agriculture, particularly concerning dairy. And there are also big controversies around access to medicines versus the intellectual property interests of drug companies on the other. In particular, biologic drugs were a very controversial item, with the U.S. wanting to maintain a 12-year patent on these drugs, whereas Chile has a zero-year patent on these drugs. And so there was a wide disagreement on whether this agreement should favor the rights of drug companies over people who actually need medicine, or whether people who need life-saving medicines should be protected over the profits of drug companies.
Now, what's a biologic drug?
So biologics are actually drugs that are manufactured in a living system, such as a microorganism or plant or animal cell. Genetically engineered drugs, and there's a very new class of medication, and they are highly controversial in terms of the patent rights regarding these drugs. This is one of the areas that has been most controversial among many controversies regarding access to medicine versus intellectual property in this and other recent trade deals. TPP is in many ways seen as undermining the U.S.'s own effort to eradicate AIDS, one of the areas where medicines are under threat as a result of this trade agreement. Some of the kind of policies that have been pushed through TPP are policies like evergreening, which allows drug companies to extend the patents of drugs' life essentially indefinitely through minor changes to the formulation of a drug. It could be something as simple as changing an active ingredient. It could be changing the dosage for a drug. It could even be something like making changes to drug packaging, to drug the paperwork associated with a drug. And this is only one of the intellectual property controversies around this trade deal. This TPP is also seen as a threat, also because of its intellectual property rules, to internet freedom. The ACLU has described TPP as the biggest threat to free speech and intellectual property that you've never heard of. The Stop Online Piracy Act was a highly controversial piece of legislation that failed because people were concerned that in the interest of protecting corporate intellectual property on the internet, this opened new opportunities for criminalization and really surveillance on people's internet use. Well, that legislation was controversial, so the same kind of rules have now been tucked into TPP and other trade deals. And that really tells us a lot about what these trade deals really are. It is really inaccurate to describe them as trade deals. Only 5 of the chapters of TPP actually deal with what we would normally consider trade issues, traditional trade matters. The rest of the chapter deal with a wide range of issues and to the advantage of corporations. And so many people have described these as Trojan horse trade deals because much is hidden in them that has nothing to do with trade. So they will shovel bad legislation like SOPA into this trade deal, the same kind of language as we found in SOPA, the Stop Online Piracy Act, really just hiding all these benefits to corporations under the guise of a trade deal that we're told is going to create export opportunities and create jobs here in the U.S., yet we know time and again these kind of rotten trade deals do just the opposite.
So I just wanted to confirm, Adam, because this seems fairly insidious, an act like SOPA, which was rejected in the U.S. The U.S. or interests that backed SOPA can, through the TPP, make this an international regulation?
That's right. That's really why these trade agreements are really shouldn't be considered trade agreements. They should be considered international treaties. They are about far more than simply lowering tariffs or quotas on a commodity. This is regulation. This is regulation being written. Really legislation being written by the executive branch, by the administration, for the interest of corporations, hidden from public view, in secret negotiations with over 500 corporations having insider track access as part of industry trade advisory committees, where they can actually read and advise on the secretly negotiated texts of these trade deals. You and me, we can't actually see the text of these agreements. If you're a member of Congress wants to see the text of this agreement, they have to go into a closed door room. They can page through the documents. They are not allowed to take notes. They are not allowed to make copies. They are not allowed to take pictures. They are able to look through these documents under the watchful eye of a representative of the Office of the U.S. Trade Rep. And when they leave, they are sworn to secrecy about what they read. They are not allowed to tell anyone about what they read. This is basically being treated as a matter of national security. And so this has created a problem where people want to it creates issues where even consulting experts becomes a challenge. Members of congressional staff, in order to access these documents, need national security clearance. Now, we know that our members of Congress are not actually reading every bill and certainly are not reading these massive bureaucratic, legalistic trade deals page by page. The people who we at least hope would be reading them are congressional staff. And these trade negotiators, the U.S. Trade Office, the U.S. Trade Representative, has actually created barriers to make it harder for congressional staff to read these documents on behalf of the legislators that they represent. Now, we have to ask, why is national security clearance being applied to a trade negotiation? We're not talking about nuclear bomb secrets. We're not talking about lists of overseas CIA agents. We're talking about a trade negotiation, and this kind of secrecy has really never been applied to a trade negotiation to anywhere near this degree in the past. But the Obama administration learned from negotiations like the Free Trade Area of the Americas and the Multilateral Agreement on Investments and the Seattle round of WTO talks that when light is shed on these kind of corporate power grab trade deals, people rise up and prevent these negotiations from being completed.
What are the next steps for the TPP members, and what can KBOO listeners do to keep track of the negotiations and voice their opinions to the right people?
Okay, well, the next step for the negotiators, they're going to try to get together again at the end of August. We'll see if that actually happens and where that goes. I think if the issues of the negotiations were really as fixable as they like to claim that they are, that we would have seen things wrap up in this round, because they would have loved to have done this right then, because TPP itself is now in danger because of failing to close this round. I think we may be seeing the beginning of the end of TPP. I think this deal may actually be falling apart, and that's a very welcome thing. I think we need to keep up the pressure in exposing what a terrible deal this is, and letting our elected officials know that they will be held accountable if they vote for TPP. Really just suck the life out of this deal and make it dead on arrival in Congress to a degree that no trade agreement has been previously. KBOO listeners really need to consistently give hell to Ron Wyden, who is the Democrat who pushed fast track through Congress. We really need to make an example of him and let him know that that vote will be remembered, that voters do not have a short memory on this issue. There are great organizations in Oregon working on this issue, like the Oregon Fair Trade Campaign. People can go to their website, as well as the website of our organization, tradejustice.net. and other great websites like ExposeTheTPP.org and FlushTheTPP.org. If people would like to contact us, we're at 718-218-4523. We have lots of, we and many others throughout the country have lots of activities. For example, we're rallying tomorrow at the Malaysian consulate as John Kerry travels to Malaysia to express outrage that in a cynical move, the State Department just upgraded Malaysia from the Tier 3 worst of the worst human trafficking list to the Tier 2 watch list to circumvent a fast-track rule that says that we will not, U.S., fast-track trade agreements with worst of the worst human traffickers like Malaysia, which is a TPP member nation. This happening just 2 months after Malaysia was exposed as having human trafficking camps and mass graves, 135 mass graves. And just in the last few days, more and more news reports, one in the New York Times today about sex trafficking in Malaysia, one on the 26th about forced labor in the palm oil industry, a recent New York Times article about forced labor in the commercial fishing industry coming out of Malaysia. So the State Department betrayed human rights and its own credibility in order to upgrade Malaysia for this report so that TPP could be fast-tracked. So we are expressing our disgust to Secretary Kerry and his betrayal of human rights, and by extension, the Obama administration's betrayal of human rights. Again, if people want to find out more about us, we're at tradejustice.net, and we urge everyone to contact their elected officials and let them know that human rights and our environmental rules and our consumer rights should not be compromised in the name of corporate profits through rotten trade deals like the TPP.
We've been talking with Adam Weissman. He's an organizer with Global Justice for Animals and the Environment and also with Trade Justice New York Metro. This is Ken Jones with KBOO News.
KBOO Community Radio.